If you will, take your Bibles, look with us in Psalms chapter number 51 tonight. Psalms chapter number 51. I know we're in 32 this morning, but we'll be dealing with Psalm 51?
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's what I meant. All right. Psalm 51. And appreciate you letting us come, preacher. I mean that. And I just want to look here tonight, and I want to deal with the heart tonight. Here, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. He said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall shew forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure and design. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar." So let's go to the Lord in prayer here tonight. Father, now we thank you for allowing us to be here once again tonight. Thank you for the privilege of prayer. And Lord, we need you just as much tonight as we needed you this morning. And Lord, we know that we cannot do anything without you. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And Lord, we sure need your strength. We sure need your help here tonight. Lord, I pray that you would touch hearts and change lives. Lord, would you do that which we cannot do tonight? We admit it tonight, and we surely need your touch and help. Lord, I pray that you would help preacher and help the work here and help the radio station and all the things that are going on, the ministries of this church. I pray that you would bless them. And Lord, I pray in all things you'd have the preeminence tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want us to look here in this passage of scripture. Of course, I just have a couple of things just to mention tonight. But notice, a clean heart is a necessary creation, and it's not an optional. And so David is wanting a clean heart, and he is wanting a right spirit within him. I was reading someone, I can't remember, I wrote it down. It said, "Beware of cheap confession. Merely praying with the lips, 'Lord, I've sinned, please forgive me,' is not confession." True confession costs something. A broken and a contrite heart, according to verse number 17. That does not mean that we do penance and earn forgiveness, but it means that we're so broken by our sin that we hide nothing from God.
Amen.
God does not forgive us because we feel sorry or because we pray. He forgives us when we confess our sins,
right,
and we forsake them. And so we're always headed for trouble when we get away from God's word and we get away from what God is wanting to do. I begin to think about the importance of the heart. He said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." I begin to think about that, and I'm going to just read a couple of passages of scripture and then just give you what's on our heart tonight. The Bible said in Deuteronomy chapter number 6 and verse number 5, he said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." He said in Deuteronomy chapter number 30 and verse number 6, he says this, he says, "And the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed, to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And of course, we realize that our heart is graciously affected by God. He touches our heart. The Bible said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. He said in Proverbs chapter number 23, in verse number 7, he said, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So even in Psalms 139, David is saying all these things about, and let me turn over there, Psalm 139. And of course, he's saying here in verse number 23, he said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. The Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the what? The mouth speaketh. So in Psalms 12, in verse number 2, just give you a couple of verses. I know I'm doing a lot of verses, but the Bible said, they speak vanity, every one with his neighbor, with flattering lips, and notice, with a double heart do they speak. So he talks about the double heart in Psalms 12. And then he talks about a divided heart in Psalms 86 in verse number 11. He said, teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart. Unite my heart. That means his heart was not united. It was divided. And so he said, unite my heart to fear thy name. And then there's a defiled heart here in Psalm 51 in verse number 10. It said, create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. The heart is the seat of the affections. The heart of the matter simply is this. It's a matter of the heart. And so that's what God is dealing with. It is the place of our misplaced thoughts. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Where the heart dwells, the hills will soon follow. And so what you're dwelling on and what you're pondering and what you're thinking about, surely that will lead to where you're going in your life. It is a place, the heart is a place of misplaced treasures. He said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Delilah said this to Samson. She said in Judges 16, verse number 15, she said, how canst thou say, I love thee, when thine heart is not with me? And so she's saying this to him. She's using this to get his heart, because if she gets his heart, then she's got him. In Proverbs, you remember what the father said? He said, my son, give me thine heart. Give me thine heart. And so I want to deal with that tonight about the heart. The Bible said in Psalm 119, he said in Psalm 119, verse number 10, he said, with my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. And so all through Psalm 119, I don't have time to deal with it tonight, but you'll look in there and you'll find that word whole heart. Verse number 2, he said, blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. We need to be wholehearted about this. And so many say to us, maybe they've said, and you've heard it said before, they say, your heart is not in the right place. Jehu in 2 Kings chapter number 10, verse number 15 said, is thy heart right as my heart is with thine heart? What he's saying is, do you feel toward me as I feel toward you? And I want to ask you this question tonight. And do you care for the Lord as he cares for you tonight? Usually a person cannot feel if their heart is out of place. He said in Jeremiah chapter number 17 and verse number 9, you know all these passages of scripture. We're just giving to you. Preachers preach them. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins even to give to every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. The Bible talks about the faint heart. The Bible talks about the heavy heart, the vexed heart, the discouraged heart, the timid heart, the deceived heart, the tired heart, the broken heart, the evil heart, strife that was in our hearts, sinful hearts, wicked hearts, unclean hearts, and divided hearts. But the Bible also talks about the perfect heart, talks about the wise heart, talks about the stout heart, talks about the contrite heart, talks about singleness of heart, talks about established hearts. It talks about being upright in heart. It talks about whole hearts, as we just mentioned to you. It talks about strengthened hearts. It talks about filled hearts. And it talks about a merry heart. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen. And so listen, I begin to think about what happens when our heart gets out of place. When a man's heart or a woman's heart gets out of place, what happens in their life is, first of all, they begin to make bad decisions in their life. I've seen people in the ministry, been in the ministry for many years now. I grew up, my dad was a preacher, grew up in a preacher's home. And I grew up in church, been in church now 54, going toward 55 years. And was there 9 months before then. My mom carried me to church then. And so, but I think about how that many people, when they get making bad decisions in their life, it's because their heart's not right. It's because their heart's not right with the Lord. You know, I think about many times they run from their problems. And I found out when I moved from Georgia to Florida, and I moved down there and pastored for a while down there in Florida. You tell what I found out? I found out that dogs get in your trash in Florida just like they get in your trash in Georgia. And you know what? I've heard people before. I've been around people in church, brother, and they say, well, if I could just have a change of location, if I could just change my location, if I could change my church, if I could change my pastor, if I could just change the situation. No, I'll tell you, that wouldn't change the situation, because if your heart's not right, you can go to another location, you can go have another pastor, go to another church, you can go do all these things, but if your heart's not right, it's still going to be the same way when you get there. You're going to have a dirty, defiled heart, and you're going to need to be right with the Lord. I tell you, the best thing to do is just be purposed and determined in your life. Say, Lord, I want to be clean here at Island Ford Baptist Church. I want to be right with the Lord right here. I can have joy right here. Amen. You remember when you had joy? Amen. I'm telling you, where's that smile thing at? Amen. We need to find a smile. Hey, my dad said, I don't know if it's true or not. My dad said you use over 300 muscles to frown, 300 something. He said you use 15 or 17 to smile. My dad used to say, give your face a break. Smile. Amen. Smile. And so listen, we need to smile. We need to smile. But I tell you who puts that smile there? The Lord does. He's the one that keeps it there. You remember when you used to come to the house of God? You remember when you dug in your Bible? Remember when you prayed? You remember when you found a nugget and you want to share it with your wife? Hey, man, ladies, if you found something and you, while you was reading, you just want to tell your husband, hey, I was reading my Bible today and this is what I found in my Bible. And you just want to share it with your husband and it's a blessing to him. He's excited about it. But now the husband gets up there because he's not reading his Bible, praying, studying. He's not spending time because his heart's not right with God. And the wife comes to him and said, hey, I found something reading my Bible. Leave me alone. I don't want to talk about that. And then same thing with her, maybe. He's found something. Now she don't want to hear it. Why? Because your heart's not right. When your heart's right, you'll be glad to hear it. Amen. Amen. They receive the heart with gladness. They receive the word of God with gladness. Yes. Amen. Do you receive the word of God with gladness? It is all a revealer of your heart.
Amen.
Amen. And so many hide, many dry up, many get angry. Amen. But I tell you, if you're not careful, you'll not only make bad decisions about your problems, but you'll make bad decisions about your church. Amen. I tell you what, if you're not careful, and the most dangerous thing you could ever do is walk away from God.
Yeah.
The most terrible thing. I think about Brother Johnny Mixon years ago. I was a young preacher. And Brother Johnny Mixon wrote something. I wrote it in one of my Bibles there. He said, run to God when troubles come. Run to God. I said, I'm going to put that in the front of my Bible.
Amen.
And there's been many times, Brother Shepherd, I've opened up my Bible. And I found that. Run to God when problems come. The man of God's already gone home to be with the Lord. But he being dead yet speaketh to me.
Amen.
And helps me to realize, hey, when troubles come, I need to just get closer to God.
Amen.
I need to get closer to him. Maybe that's what you need to do tonight. Maybe you just need to find your place and get all along and spend some time with God and say, Lord, it's not the way it used to be in my life. It's about like the man and the woman riding down the road in the pickup truck. Maybe you've heard it before. And he's sitting there up underneath the steering wheel and she's way over yonder by the window. She said, you know what? We don't sit together as close as we used to do. He said, well, I'm still where I'm sitting, where I always sit. Amen. Can I tell you something? God's still sitting where he always sat. God ain't going to move. If you're going to fellowship with him, you're going to have to walk in the light as he's in the light. He's not going to fellowship with you and walk in darkness with you. You're going to have to come to the light. You're going to have to get things right with him. And then you can enjoy the fellowship. You don't have to endure it. You can enjoy it. And so let me move on. And so listen, maybe you become bitter in church. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know anything. I'm just here preaching, and that's all I know to do tonight. I ain't talking to a preacher. I ain't talking to nobody. All I've tried to do, Brother Duncan, is get along with God and find what he wants and try to mind the Lord tonight. Hey, are you bitter? Are you bitter about something going on in your life? I'll tell you, it can get you sideways toward church, toward God, toward the man of God, toward the word of God, toward those who are trying to help you. And you won't receive the help in your life because you're bitter. Right. You're bitter in your life. I pray tonight you would. I don't know if that's my water, your water, whose water, but it's all right. Okay. Anyhow, we'll share whatever. Amen. But bitterness. And then you wind up mistrusting people. You get where you can't trust people. You can't trust the preaching. When the preacher's preaching, he's poured out his heart. He's getting alone and praying. And oftentimes people don't know how a preacher's life really is. He comes and he tries to find God's will, pray and preach God's word to the people. And he leaves oftentimes thinking, boy, I just missed it. I think I it's just question. I don't know if you do that, but I'm just telling you, I want people to get help. I want people to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. I want them to draw closer to the Lord. That's my desire. People say, preacher, what can we do to make you happy? I said, live for Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Live for Jesus. If you'll really sell out and live for Him. My daddy used to call it just sell out lock, stock, and barrel. That's what daddy used to say. He used to say, go whole hog with God. Brother Sammy used to say that, go whole hog with God.
Amen.
Years ago. Hey, can I tell you, you just need to be serious about this thing of God. I won't ever forget one young man talked to Brother Don Green, and I told you about it the other day. He was in the vehicle with me. He said, Brother Don, I want to know this, about walking with the Lord and serving the Lord and being filled with the Spirit and being a Christian and being what God wants me to be. And so Brother Green looked at him. He said, son, it's simple as this. He said, if you're serious with God, God will be serious with you.
Amen.
He said, but here it is. He said, if you're not serious with God, God won't be serious with you.
That's right.
And it's just simple as that. Can't make it any more simple. If we'll really be serious with Him, He'll be serious with us.
Amen.
You're as close to God tonight as you want to be.
Right.
Are you listening? If God's seeming so distant, guess what? He ain't moved.
Right.
He's still where He's always been.
Amen.
You need to draw nigh to Him. And I'll tell you what, if you draw nigh to Him, guess what? He'll draw nigh to you.
Amen.
And so maybe you've lost your burden. You've lost your love. Maybe there's division in your life between you and your husband, you and your wife, you and your children, you and the people in the church, between brothers and sisters in Christ. Maybe it leads to a loss of attendance. Maybe you used to see when they come to the house of God, it first starts off and you see it. There's an attention problem, first of all, when they come. They're not paying attention anymore. They're looking out the window. They're not paying attention. What's going on? They're looking around. They got their Bibles closed. That means they're probably their minds are closed, their hearts are closed, and everything else. And then they sit there and they look at you. I know I've been in church for 54 years, or know a little bit about it. They look at you and say, bless me if you can, preacher.
Yep.
Bless me if you can. And the preacher's just preaching uphill the whole time.
Yeah.
And he's trying to mind God. And notice, not only is there an attention problem, but then there's an attendance problem. Because there is an attitude problem. Because there's an affection problem. Their heart's not for the Lord. And it all stems from an application problem.
Amen.
They're just not applying the Word of God
Yep.
to their life anymore. He said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby.
Amen.
Now I'm going to tell you, I could have set the bottle over here and set my child over there. My child would have never grew any.
Right.
He would have died. You got to take the bottle and you got to feed them. But there comes a time. I've got one boy. He's 6 foot. He ain't a boy. He's a man. Got 6 kids. He's 6'9". His wife is 4'11". Can you figure that out? 6'9" and 4'11". But I'm going to tell you what. There come a time where we kept putting the bottle in. There's a time where we just said, we ain't got to hold on to the bottle no more. He held on to the bottle. He started using the fork, and he's been using the fork ever since. Friend, I'm telling you, he ain't put it down. He's serious. He'd always, when he'd get off work and when he's staying at the house and living with us before he got married, first thing he'd ask her, he wouldn't ask him, we had chickens and rabbits and all kind of stuff all around there. We had old McDonald farm around the house. He didn't ask how all of his chickens and rabbits was doing. He'd ask his mom, he'd call his mom on the phone and say, what are we eating? That's the first thing he wanted to know. Now, there's a sign of life when there's a desire for something. Amen. Do you have a desire for the Word of God?
Amen.
Brother Milby got up one morning and he told those men, he said, I'm hungry. And they looked at Brother Milby and they said, the fellowship hall ain't going to be open for about another hour or two. And Brother Milby said, I ain't talking about the fellowship hall, young men.
Amen.
He said, I ain't talking about the fellowship hall. He said, I'm talking about spending time with the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Preach the message on, will somebody go get the Lord?
Amen.
That'll make you want to go get the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen. Our churches need it. Our children need it. Amen. The preacher needs it. He needs some people come in here full of God.
Yeah.
and walking with God. You don't have to pump them up and prime them up. They've been out there. They've been out there in the pine thicket. They've been laying with the Lord. They've been spending time with Him. And they're coming, brethren, we have met to worship. That's what they come for. They want to worship. That's why they came. But listen, when your heart's not right, the church won't have the meaning in your life that it ought to have. When your heart's not right, you fall out with the preacher, with leadership. You fall out with your song leader. You fall out with the piano player. You fall out with the Sunday school teacher. You fall out with everybody else. And it all stems from you. See, there's a lot of things happens when your heart's not right. Are you listening? I go to the doctor and the doctor would tell me, he said, just stick your tongue out. And I'd stick my tongue out. He said, say ah. And I'd say ah. I don't know what he was looking at. But he'd be able to look back there in the back of your throat, figure something out. He could, all that. And he said, yeah, you've got a lot of a drainage back there. A lot of things look bad. Your ears are full of fluid and all this. You need this. We need to give you something to help get you over that. And I tell you, maybe you look and you see a lot of symptoms in your life tonight. Don't lie against the symptoms. It's going on in your life tonight. Just honestly admit it and say, Lord, my heart's not right. I don't know why the Lord's had me say all this stuff up here. But I think I'm right on.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening? When your heart's out of place, you make wrong decisions about your home. Men no longer are the lovers in their home and the leaders in their home and loyalties in the home. But now they become tyrants. And a tyrant is a person who exercises power in a harsh, critical way.
Right.
Are you listening to me? I tell you, the Bible said, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church.
Amen.
Gave himself, and then he said, the wife, she ought to reverence her husband. Amen. I tell you, there's an older man that got up there and he was talking about, and this young man got up there and he said, how y'all been married 50 plus years? How do y'all make it? How have y'all succeeded in all this? He said, son, if you'll come in the morning, I'll show you how that we succeeded in this marriage. And so that young man was eager to come there to find out about marriage, to learn about marriage. And so he come there and they had the little old dog trot went through the house. You know, you got the rooms on one side and you got the kitchen and everything on the other side. He said, we're on the kitchen side. So that young man come in there, and when he come in there, that man had three chairs set out there. He had one for him, one for his wife, and one for that young man. That young man come in there, and all of a sudden that elderly man turned around, got down and prostrated himself for his chair. The wife did it, and also the young man just followed suit and did what they did. And all of a sudden the man began to pray. And began to pray. He said, Lord, he said, I thank you for my wife and giving me my wife for all these many years. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings that she's been to me. Lord, would you help me love her like you love the church?
Amen.
And gave yourself for it. Lord, help me to appreciate her. Let her know how much I appreciate her. And began to pray. And that young man, and then that wife prayed. And she prayed and she prayed and asked God to help her be what she ought to be for her husband. That young man realized the whole secret behind all of it was their relationship with the Lord.
That's right.
Their relationship with the Lord. And so listen, men become tyrants. They become unbearable. They become hard to please. Brother Bryant used to say it years ago. He said, it's about like that woman that brought, that man told his wife, he said, you go fix me two eggs. He said, fry one and scramble the other one. Said she come back in there and brought it into him. He said, you scrambled the wrong egg. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, when you're not right, Brother Duncan, it'll make you where you're not happy no matter which one was done.
Right.
You're going to be displeased with everything.
Yeah, right.
Nothing can satisfy you. Best thing to do is hit this altar and just say, Lord, I've been a tyrant. I've been hard to get along with. Things have been difficult at the house, not because of mama, but because of me. Things have been difficult in the house, not because of my husband, Lord. It's been difficult because of me. The Bible said every wise woman built her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. It'd be bad to see a man building on a house as hard as he can build and a woman on the other side yanking off the shingles.
Yep.
I mean, snatching off the shingles, taking a sledgehammer and knocking out two befores and knocking out everything in the house. Listen, don't destroy it. You're building something.
Right.
And except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it.
Yep.
And I tell you, when your heart's not right, your joy is not going to be what it ought to be.
Yeah.
The Bible lets us know in Romans 15, if I can turn over there, let me turn over there real quick and read. I believe that's where it's at. Romans 15. He said in verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. God fills us with all joy. Thank God we have the abundance of this joy. Paul said, I want to finish my course with joy. You ought to want to finish the ministry and what God's called you to do with joy. Amen. He said in Isaiah 65 verse number 15, he said, my servant shall sing for joy. Amen. Amen. And then in Joel 1:12, he talked about it. The reason why was because their joy was withered. In John 15, he wrote unto him, he said, these things are written to you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Amen. Amen. He said, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I tell you, you can't have no joy in your life when your heart is not right with God. Hey, look, hey. Amen. Stick it out. Let's see. Let me look around. Is there any joy in your life tonight? Hey, Brother Duncan, you can handle it. Is there any joy in your life tonight? Amen. If there's joy in your life there tonight, it's because your heart's right with the Lord. Amen. It can't be there if it ain't right.
Right.
Are you listening to me? That's why David said, create me a clean heart, O God. Right. Renew a right spirit within me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation.
Amen.
Amen. And I tell you, when your joy is not right, and so listen, you need to realize that you need to have joy in your life. And then when your heart's not right, your faith becomes weak.
Yep.
The battle's become too heavy to fight. Very little ground is now being taken for the Lord. The Bible lets us know, and even the song that we sing, faith is the victory.
Amen.
Faith is the victory. Faith is the victory that overcometh the world. Amen. And so listen, he said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to him must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. In 1 John chapter number 5, in verse number 4 tonight. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, in verse number 4 tonight. Let me read it to you. He said this. He said, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Ground that was at one time being taken from God is no longer being taken for God. Instead of there being a progression in your life, now there's a regression in your life. You're not where you, you're not making progression anymore in your life. Your victories become scarce and they become hard. He told Joshua, he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Amen. Joshua 1:8. And so it's so important. Listen, when your heart's out of place, then these temptations start overtaking you in your life. Things start looking, things that used to you didn't think was, you know that's not right, that's wrong. Now they don't look so wrong to you anymore. The world begins to look exciting and doubt starts creeping in your life. Your spiritual discernment slips. And when the preacher starts preaching and telling you the truth, it starts making you angry and you get upset. If anybody gives you advice about the things of God, it gets on your nerve. You can't see the need of going to so much church. The service is too long. The praying's too long. The preaching's too long. There's too many meetings. There's too much stuff. And it's all because your heart is not right.
Amen.
You start slowing down. You don't make advancements in the things of God anymore. The work of God becomes a chore to you. It's no longer an enjoyment to you. You start becoming critical of one another when your heart's not right. The Bible becomes meaningless to you. You can pick it up. You can read it or not read it. Heed it or not heed it. Your prayer time becomes a difficulty to you. When your heart is not right, warning begins to make you angry. You won't appreciate the truth like you used to when your heart's out of sorts. You won't accept the truth. You won't apply the truth. You always, when the preacher's preaching, you say, well, that's for brother so-and-so.
Yeah.
That's for sister so-and-so. That's not for me. And then when your heart's not right, you won't adjust your life to what the Word of God says. You said, I ain't got to do that. I don't have to do that. Listen, when you get away from God, I'm going to tell you, you're on a downward road.
Yeah.
You're on a dangerous road. You're on a deadly road. You say, preacher, how can I know if I'm on that road? I'll tell you how you can tell them when you're on that road. When you start complaining and fault finding. He said in Philippians chapter number 2, and I thought the Lord let me preach there tonight, but he didn't. He said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory.
Right.
But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. That would take care of everything in our church if we just take strife and vainglory out of it. We're doing it to bring attention to ourselves. We're doing it to get even with somebody, get back somebody. If we just let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. And then we esteem others better than ourselves. Have lowliness of mind. And then he said this in verse 14. He said, do all things without murmurings and disputings. Amen. Listen, complaining. He said, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. When you start getting slack in your commitments, you can rest assured you're getting on this road.
Right.
Hey, when you begin to be complacent, when there's no burden for the Word of God to witness or for the lost. Listen, when you become callous and when you become casual, and then what's worse is when you become content in that. David said, he said, teach me thy way, O Lord. He said in verse number 11 of Psalms 86, he said, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. And then he said, unite my heart to fear thy name. In the midst of this, David's praying for deliverance from his enemies. But in the midst of this, David is praying that God would teach him his way and that God would give him an undivided heart. See, that's the key to David's greatness. David is still willing to be taught.
Amen.
David is still willing to be instructed.
Yep.
David is still saying, Lord, my heart is not exactly, my heart is fixed. He's wanting his heart fixed on God.
Yep.
Amen. But listen, most of us when we pray, we're concerned about deliverance. We're concerned about help. We're concerned about guidance and such things where we're not nearly concerned to be taught God's way. And to be helped to serve Him with an undivided heart. In other words, what we want is we want the blessings of salvation without the duties that go behind it. We want prosperity and we want personal safety, but we want to go our own way and we want to do our own thing. And David's not like this. He knew his heart. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. But he also knew that he needed to go in God's way if he's going to prosper spiritually.
Amen.
So he's asking God, he's saying, unite my heart, God. David is saying, Lord, I want an undivided heart. I want a heart that's fixed on you. I want a heart that's perfect and sincere and that loves God alone. I want a heart, Lord, that's true to you.
Amen.
And you alone. He's petitioning God. He's praying to God. Amen. About an undivided heart. And one that was torn between obeying God's word and one that was still wanting to do his own desire. He longed to fear God wholeheartedly and to obey God and submit to him. And he's saying, Lord, I want to do this so that I can honor you and genuinely glorify you.
Amen.
In my life. And so what David is saying is this. David is saying, do away, Lord, with the resentment in my heart. Resentment keeps me upset. These things are keeping me from you. This thing that has divided my heart from you. And Lord, I'm wanting my heart to be right. Lord, I am going your way.
Amen.
I'm going your way. I wonder tonight, are you wholehearted tonight in your fellowship with God? Where is thy heart tonight? What is on your heart tonight? What is your heart's desire tonight? You ought to have a heart's desire tonight. Say, Lord, I really want to live for you. I really want to serve you. Lord, I want revival in our church. I want to see you do a great work in the young people's life. I want to see these young people come to know the Lord. I want to see them serve God with all their might. Amen. And Lord, I want to see you do great things in preacher's life. When he gets up and preach, Lord, help him to preach with the power of God on his life. Lord, help preacher's wife. Lord, help her. Lord, protect her and help her. Lord, help my brothers and sisters in the church. Lord, help us to love one another with a pure heart fervently. Lord, help our love to be without dissimulation. There'd be no hypocrisy in it, but we love one another with a pure heart fervently. That's why he's telling them in Philippians, he said, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, he said, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. He's praying for them. He's praying for them. He's giving a praise to them in chapter number one. He's making a prayer for them in chapter number one. He's praying for their affections. He's praying that they approve things that are true and are right and are just. He's praying that their allegiance will be right. And in chapter number two, he's praying that they will have let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He said, in light of all of what the Lord's done for you, you've been saved. And I tell you what he said. Listen, I thank God for a Bible. It's very important. I love it. But he said, this is what Jesus said. He said, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples.
Yep.
He said, if you have love one toward another.
Amen.
That's the telltale sign.
Yep.
That's the telltale sign. And let me tell you why I love you. I ain't never met y'all before. I'm up here in Kentucky, and I'm a long ways from home, but I'm up here with my folk.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all my folk. Y'all my kinfolk. I just want y'all to know that. We're of the same body. We're of the same. I'm telling you, I'm on my way to heaven. You're on your way to heaven. Amen. You're my brother. You're my sister. Amen. We may not have the same last name, but we have the same Savior. Amen. He saved me by the side of a stop sign on the way home from church on a Sunday night. Can you believe that? I don't know where you got saved at, but I know I was just like what Brother Billy Kelly said. I was near to despair when he came to me there. And he told me that I could be free.
Amen.
Listen, if you're not saved tonight, he come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Amen.
I'm glad the Lord will make house calls.
Yes.
Hey, he waited for that woman by the well.
Yep.
And Brother Farrell, he was waiting for me by the side of a stop sign.
Amen.
Amen. I thank God that he had enough concern for me that night. He didn't throw me away.
Amen.
24 years old, got saved by the grace of God. Amen. And that love that was shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost when I got saved, it was not only an upward love, but it was an outward love.
Yes.
Amen. I love the brethren.
Yep.
I love my enemies. Amen.
Amen.
I can't explain all that. All I know is just the love of God. It's that agape love.
Amen.
Amen. And I'm thankful for it tonight. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name, Lord, don't really know how to pray and don't really know how to Lord, this the burden that's on our heart tonight for this church and for these people tonight. Lord, I pray that you do eternal things in their life. Lord, the feeble attempt tonight, Lord, that you would please look down upon it. And somewhere between the pulpit and the pew, may you deal with people. And Lord, I pray that you would knit hearts together. And Lord, that people would recognize my heart is not right with you. And Lord, that they would be honest enough to admit it. Lord, they would be honest enough to come down the old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, please help me tonight. Create in me a clean heart. Oh, God, renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And we'll thank and praise you, and we'll give you honor and glory for all that you do tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.